we have been in a teaching series, in a series called Defined, and that's what we're coming out in 2015 with, defining us. We came out of 2014 defining who God says we are as individuals and our identity in Christ and what he says about us and the truth that he speaks into our situation and our lives. And so we come out of that, and then we come into this identity series called Defined, and that is defining us as a body. And by body, I mean Whitewater Christian Church attendees who would claim this to be a home church, who would claim this to be a place where they want to dig in. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how we interact with one another. And so how we interact with one another is very important, right? We all come from families that have dysfunction in them, correct? So we bring that dysfunction into this larger family, right? Okay. So we're trying to help alleviate some of this dysfunction as we move forward. Impossible? Yes, it is. Not really. God can do this, right? Okay, all right, cool. So along with this Defined series, last week we talked about what we believe. We talked about our views on ours, meaning the leadership here at Whitewater Christian Church and what Whitewater Christian Church was planted as. We believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, we covered that. We covered that that is the essential core of who we are and what we base everything off of, right? Okay, we believed that there are a lot of disputable matters within Scripture that are non-essential to salvation and who God is, right? Hey, yeah. And that's what we are moving into this next portion here, the Bible. This is where it gets crazy. So the Bible, what we have here, can I read our belief statement that you can find online to you? Maybe you've already read it, but this is our belief here at Whitewater Christian Church about the Bible. We believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. We accept the Bible as inerrant and final authority for all matters of faith and practice. We believe the Bible is a living and active document where we are invited to encounter God. Does anybody dispute that fact? And that's okay if you do. Okay? One thing I failed to address last week is we talked about our beliefs and what our beliefs were, and hopefully you were in agreement with that. But I don't want to fail to mention and notice and give nod to the people that don't agree with that. Okay? This is a safe place. This is a place for you to come and question these things. This is a place for you to come and say, you know, I'm not really sure about that. This is a place where we have all retired our pitchforks and our torches, and we want to grow together and we want to learn together. So I want to mention that before we even get started is we understand that there is a lot of hard to understand concepts within Scripture. We understand that there are a lot of hard to understand things about God, and you are joining the ranks of those who question and those who ask questions. Okay? That said, can I move forward? So the Bible. We believe the Bible is an inspired word of God. We accept the Bible as inerrant and final authority for all matters of faith and practice. We believe the Bible is a living and active document where we are invited to encounter God. Sounds pretty good, right? But what is this Bible? I read a pretty intense book on what the Bible was this week, because I didn't know. They failed to teach that in Bible college. Just kidding. It's a book I read in college, and it's a book that I wanted to reread because I thought, you know, as I would give you guys information, as I would teach to you guys about Scripture, I want to make sure that there's nothing really that I'm missing. And this book starts out with, the earliest forms of writing that we can see are, I mean, it starts like from when writing was conceived to what writing materials were available. And I was just scratching my head and thinking, this is way too much. This is way too much to address you guys with. This is way too in-depth, too studious, because that's not who I am. So I put the book down after I read it, cover to cover. It was great. If any of you would like to borrow it, you're more than welcome to it. So I put the book down and I said, okay, God, out of all this stuff of how we got the Bible and what the Bible actually is and everything, what? What's the it? What do I talk about? How do I talk about it? And God said then, and God continues to say now, your job is not to make people believe in the Bible this morning. That's not your job, man. Let me do that. Your job is not to have everybody on the same page with you as far as what the Bible actually is this morning. Let me do that. So that took a lot of weight off, so we're done. There's nothing left to talk about. But the Bible breaks down. Here is what the Bible is. It is God's communication with man throughout the ages. From when man was first put on this earth till when man, whatever your views of millennial, post-millennial, amillennial, those kind of views, whatever happens then to when God comes back and restores creation to everything that it should be. Okay? That is what the Bible is in a nutshell. The Bible is, from A to Z, God's communication with man. It's God's communication with man stating who he is and how he desires relationship with you and I. That's what Scripture is. And you have men and women who have penned this, who have scribed this throughout the ages. And what happens then is we get this collective work. We get this Old Testament and we get this New Testament. And we rarely question of where it came from. We look at the publishing company and we look at the date that it was printed and all those kinds of things. But we rarely question where, how, or why. At least I never really did. And so we have this breakdown. We have, if you guys have heard of the Old Testament, yeah, that's the very beginning book of the Bible, Genesis. Through Malachi, through Malachi, okay? Genesis through Malachi is called the Old Testament. And what that is it is the beginnings of who we are. So from Genesis, in the books of the Bible, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, you have books of the law. And it's God establishing himself in this law that he has with his creation, who, in the garden, there was a couple, the first man and woman who were created named Adam and Eve who went against what God had asked them to do. And so from Genesis through Deuteronomy, you have the book of the law. From Joshua through Esther, you have history that just recounts this entire history of Israel, this entire history of God's people struggling to know who God is. So then you go into books of poetry and books of wisdom through Job and the Song of Solomon. Do you guys remember when we went through our series, some of you, of the major and minor prophets? We taught like half of the Old Testament in 2 weeks. You guys remember that? We were that good that we covered everything. And so you have this major and minor prophets, and these prophets are prophesying about things to come. These prophets are saying, hey, look, you know, there's going to be a person that's going to come and restore all this. There's going to become a person that's going to come and take all of this and make it right. They prophesied many things to the nation of Israel. They prophesied to their current situation and said, God said, he's pretty mad. He's pretty upset with you right now. But you need to turn back. And this is how you turn back. This is what you need to do. So they prophesy. So the Bible, then, you hit into the New Testament. After you go from Genesis to Malachi, you hit the New Testament. This is really good, whatever that is. You get into the New Testament, and the New Testament is what? God's communication with man, right? You have Jesus who enters the scene starting in Matthew. You have the story of the miraculous birth. You have the story of everything that was prophesied coming to fruition in this birth of Jesus. What's interesting is these prophecies from the Old Testament to the New are about 700 years before Jesus even hits the scene. 700 years they were talking about who and where and when kind of Jesus would hit the scene and be born. You have, they talk about the virgin birth. Micah speaks about the city where Jesus would be born. And Zechariah talks about the way that Jesus would even be crucified. 700 years before this dude even comes around. And this is all Old Testament stuff. So then you hit the New Testament. You get Jesus, which was prophesied about in the Old Testament. And Jesus walks with his disciples and walks with many people and does miraculous healings, teaches people how to love, teaches people how to live, teaches people the true meaning of things. The misguided people, he tries to redirect and re-steer. He heals the broken. He heals the hurting. He raises people from the dead. So you have these accounts in Scripture and in the Gospels, in the whole Bible, of God's communication with man and how things should be. And that is what Scripture is. I hope I didn't rob it of its mystery. Okay? You have God's communication with man. Now, what we say is we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. And what that means is we believe that the men and women who have penned Scripture throughout these ages did so because of what God had did in their lives. Did so because of God's direction. Did so because of what God had did was such an important thing in history, in their own lives, that they needed to write this down for us. And so the Bible is the inspired word of God. God inspired it. All of it is about God, right? Well, I'm not so sure about Song of Solomon. But that's about loving God's creation. Okay? All right? So all of it is about God and is God inspired. And we accept the Bible as the inerrant and final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Does that cause hair on anybody's neck to stand up? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to politician answer this one. We believe that the Bible is inerrant. I do not believe that the people who interpret the Bible many times are. Does that make sense? The Bible has been used and abused. The Bible has been mistreated. The Bible has been misquoted. The Bible has been used as a weapon instead of a life-giving object, instead of a life-giving thing. But I believe what is in Scripture, from A to Z, what God has put forth in these writings, what God has done in these people's lives, is inerrant. I believe our misinterpretation of it is not. Does that make sense? You guys have probably experienced some of the errant Scripture. You guys have probably experienced some of that errancy here at Whitewater that any of you have been with us for 6 years, okay? That's the life of us. You guys have probably seen leadership struggle through what does this mean as we wrestle through some things. So we believe the Bible is inerrant. I believe what God has put together here. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, you see a thread all the way through. You see a thread of redemption. You see a thread of God chasing after his people. You see a thread of God's people, us, because we're so awesome, we reject God. We're going to do it our way. You see a thread of prophecies. You see a thread of prophecies being fulfilled. And so we, Whitewater Christian Church, believes that the Bible is in fact inerrant. And that what God has put forth here, that what God has inspired throughout the beginning and what will happen at the end, we believe that this is inerrant. But my interpretation of it isn't all the time. Yours might be. Oh, you thought that was a joke. Good. I was waiting for just dead silence and head nods. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Does that make sense? Do I need to unpack any more of that? This is a real question. No? Okay, help me out. You guys have voices. No. If you did it answer your question though, Joel? What I mean by inerrant or errant? Inerrant? I mean that what God has done within Scripture, we believe at Whitewater Christian Church that what Scripture says is inerrant. What does inerrant mean? It is not in error. Not in error. Does that make sense? Now, does that raise more questions? Joel, okay. You and I will talk after this, all right? We'll unpack. Come to the forum. The forum on Sunday mornings meets, and they dive into a lot of this stuff, okay? Craig Johnson, the big bearded wonder, beautiful man, he leads the forum. So you're in good hands with him, all right? He's on staff here. He's one of the leaders here. He will take care of you well, okay? That's what we mean by inerrant. The Bible is not in error. But our human minds, our human interpretations can be from time to time, okay? And will be from time to time. And you're whispering to me again. I don't understand what's going on. Please. Incapable of being wrong is what Google says about the word inerrant. Not Wikipedia. Okay, good. We don't want to go there. Any college students, can you actually quote that on like a syllabi or a syllabi? I haven't been in college forever. On a bibliography, thank you. I was going to say reference sheet. You know how long it's been since I've been in college? When I was in college, I wasn't really even in college. That's how cool I was. And so the Bible is inerrant. It's incapable of being wrong. And it's the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Again, so you guys, here it is. The Bible takes 66 books from about the 1400s all the way to the first century. Okay? This is when all of these writings came to be. And you've got 39 of these books, which I will call writings. They didn't set out to write a book. I don't think anybody ever set out to write a book when they were writing Scripture. I don't even think they were writing Scripture at this point. Okay? So you have 39 in the Old Testament. You have 27 in the New. And again, you have this common thread of man trying to restore his creation. Right? Excuse me. Of God restoring his creation. What did I say? Man? Oh. I did see some head nods at that, which is concerning. So you have God restoring his creation from the beginning of time. All right? And so when God is telling me, you know, I can go into how we got the Bible. I can go into higher criticism and lower criticism. I can tell you about the most trusted manuscripts. And this is my favorite word, the Vaticanus. Okay? In recent writings, they've since shortened it to the Vatican because I think most people laughed every time they hit the word Vaticanus and they couldn't move past that. But there's three main documents that all of these writings, and what you need to understand is the Bible is made up of copies 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 of letters. Okay? You have like the 5,000 letters that have been written and spread throughout these churches. You have like 5,000 manuscripts that they pull from, and that's what we get our Scripture from. And there's three main sources that they check all this. I can go nerd with you. I can give you history. Joel. you and I just need to get together and watch a movie or something sometime, you know? Not any in-depth talks or anything, but we can get nerdy. We can do this. And the funny thing is I sat and I thought, what brings people to faith? And I talked with Craig in his office, and it was kind of the which came first, the chicken or the egg. For me, I didn't have this love of who God was because I was in depth in the scripture. And I set out to know who God was through the word. My story starts with the people around me who were infected, who had read the word, who had taken the Bible and taken it seriously, who knew how to love, who knew how to extend grace, who knew how to extend mercy. And I saw all of this happen around me, and I said, if that is what this book does for people, it's got to be true. I know that's not everybody's story. Craig Johnson, our teaching, you're it. Tag, you're it. Craig Johnson, our discipleship pastor, said it happened the opposite with me. I started reading the Word of God and hearing directly from God through Scripture. And then through another series of events of people loving on him and caring about him, he found God through Scripture. There are countless. There's a sweet pastor in Vegas, a guy named Vince Antonucci, who teaches at The Verve in Vegas. And I had a good opportunity to hang with him a couple years back. And he said, I had a girlfriend. I picked her up on a Sunday morning. And on her TV was one of those religious channels with like the old person in the chair, like just talking over scripture. And there was a debate on a date. Or it was like by the day, though. Like, well, we can guarantee it's this day that this happened. And there was a dispute on which day. And Vince thought to himself, this is the dumbest argument I've ever seen. Surely the Bible has to say. And so he goes, and at this point, he's atheist, agnostic, somewhere around that. I know they're two totally different things. And he's waiting for his girlfriend to get ready, and he says, oh, you have a Bible. Can I borrow that? And she's like, yeah, somebody gave it to me as a joke. Just take it. And he set out to determine what he was hearing on television as to what day it actually happened on this ridiculous matter. And so he starts reading scripture. This is his first introduction. He's never set foot in a church. He's never had people invite him to church. He's never had any of that kind of interaction. And God grabs a hold of his heart. And he says, this is it. This is truth. And so, God, what do you want me to speak about this morning? What do you want these people to know about your scripture? What good does it do for me to get up and read our core values and tell you that we believe the Bible is inerrant, to tell you that we believe that God inspired all of these writings, and tell you that we exist today because it is what this word says is what we try to do and what we try to live out. What good does that do you? And God simply says, your job today is not to get people to believe in this. That's my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But as we move forward together, I understand that not all of you are going to believe the same things here in this place. Can I tell you that that's okay? There are some things that I wish you would believe. There are some things that I desperately want you to take hold of and own. There are some things that we as leadership shake our heads and say, what? How could you? Where is that? But as we move forward with these core values, we want you to know where we're at. We want you to know where, why, and how Whitewater is even in existence today. From 6 years ago. 3 years prior to that, we were just a prayer in this town. 3 years prior to that, They didn't know if Laramie was the it to plant in. To plant a church in. Let me, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, which is logical. Planting what? Planting churches. And so 6 years later, here we are together, and there are many of us that don't believe the same way. There are many of us that do not have the same foundation, that do not have the same reference of understanding for a lot of these things that we believe. And I want you to know that that's okay. Because I trust in my God, and I trust in the Holy Spirit, and I trust that if you are open to that, and that you say, I want to know you, that God's going to be faithful. Amen? How do I know this? Let's get to some scripture. Let's talk more rock, right? Let's talk more scripture. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. You guys have your Bibles? Can you guys read in this light? I know it's blinding for me, but it'll be up here. So it says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it. Now, this is a letter to a very specific people, okay? And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, this is our biblical support for our stance and our statement here. On the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, a lot of times we just grab that and we say it's great for rebuking. It's great for whipping, hurting, equipping people with bruises, black eyes, those kinds of things. But we seem to stop there. But this is some of our foundation. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21 says this, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Kind of goes along with that God-breathed, inspired. And if God is perfect, right? I would assume Scripture would be perfect, right? But not always our interpretation of said Scripture is perfect. Isaiah 48 says this, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. I find it incredible that all of these writings that happened from the 1400s up until the first century are hitting us this morning, that have been hitting us throughout the ages, and continue to be taught, continue to be preached, continue to be life-changing, life-giving. Is that incredible to anybody else? I find it incredible how my grandfather, who was heavily considering going into the Communist Party, not the good Communist Party, is there one? But the bad Communist Party, when communism was a real hot button issue that was getting a lot of people in a lot of trouble, when Hitler was in power, who heavily considered going into the Communist Party, runs into this little hottie known as my grandmother. And she tells him what she finds here in Scripture. She shows him by the love and the grace and the mercy that she extends to him in his imperfectness. And he finds it to be true. He finds it to be transformational. He finds it to be life-giving, so much so that he devotes the rest of his life until he dies to this cause, to the cause of loving God and loving others. To the cause of apologizing to his family late in life because he got some things wrong. That is Scripture. That is Bible. That is God working. That is God humbling. That is God living and breathing through these words. Amen? Hebrews 4:12 says this, and this is the last one, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I think there's a lot of us that stay away from the Bible because of those things. I think there's a lot of us that don't read Scripture because of that very thing. But this Bible, this book, these writings of how God has interacted with man and has desired to do so in the most extreme ways at times, it is not just fancy words. It is not just fake history. It is not a book that you just take lightly. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It breathes life into those who read it. And that is the Bible. And again, whether you agree with that today or not, I trust in my God, and I trust in the Holy Spirit. Let me rephrase that. I trust in our God, and I trust in the Holy Spirit that works and resides in every one of our lives to bring you to a place where these Scriptures will become very, very real. Very, very life-giving. And I know there's a lot of baggage in this room today. I know there are people that have been continually beaten by what is in Scripture. I know there are people that continue to be put down, oppressed, because of the scriptural principles that are inerrant and should never be questioned. And it's not the Scripture that should never be questioned, but the people that interpret it, they should always be questioned. I should be questioned. Matt should be questioned when he was here on the teaching team. Our leaders should be questioned. And as we move forward together as a whole, you need to understand that that's okay. Because that is who we are here at Whitewater. It is okay to question things. It is okay to question Scripture. In the context of helping, help me understand this. Or how do you honestly believe that? But if we go forward from here with the idea that it is okay to question one another on our interpretations of Scripture, that's going to save a lot of argument, I hope. You guys will still argue. It might get heated still. But it's okay. And together we're going to grow. Together we're going to find the heart of God. And all of it boils back down to this whole book is about us loving God and about us loving each other. Amen? Let me read our mission statement. Our mission statement. Dang it, I can't even. Syllabus. Fact sheet, whatever. Let me read our statement on the Bible one more time. We believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. We accept that the Bible is inerrant, or to put it as Google would say, incapable of being in error. Okay? Is that what it said? That may not be a direct quote. Anyway, as the inerrant and final authority for all matters of faith and practice, we believe the Bible is a living and active document and where we are invited to encounter God. And that, this morning, is what I give you. you are invited and always have been to encounter God through this word. You are invited and always have been invited to have dialogue with God on things you don't understand that you read in here. You are invited to have dialogue with us, your friends, your family, your body, of things that you don't understand, things that don't necessarily add up in your mind, things that you don't understand how we could ever understand. You are invited into that. And I guarantee you, as you accept that, as you say yes to that, this living, breathing book is going to infect you. It will rock your world, for lack of a better term. And just as my grandfather experienced it, that then translated through his entire family and his six children, and then on to me, and as I live my life through, I'm 34 years old and I'm here 6 years in Laramie teaching the same good news, the same gospel message, the same principles that I see played out in Scripture that I believe wholeheartedly. Will play out in your lives and are playing out in your lives and will continue to play out in your lives. So God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for these writings of these men and women. We thank you for these challenging and somewhat very misunderstood or not understood at all passages that we read. God, some of these writings and some of these people and some of the demands that you have on us just seem so crazy. And what it boils down to is loving you and loving others. And God, that sometimes is the hardest thing to ever do. And so God, as you infect us through this word, as you infect us, as we commit, God, and that's what I pray. I don't pray for belief just because I say something. I pray for belief because we together are seeking you out. That we're not looking to one another necessarily, but that we're looking right at you for our definition, for your definition of Scripture, for your definition of freedom, for your definition of love. God, and the only place to find that is within this Scripture, within these writings, within these people who have blazed the trail before us, who have gone before us and who have faltered and who have questioned and who have just been down the same road that we've been down. And so, God, I don't pray for agreement just because I read our position on the Bible. I pray for agreement on us chasing after you, on us looking to you through Scripture. And you will be faithful in showing us everything that we're asking about. You will be faithful in bringing that life. God, thank you for these writings. God, thank you for the people that poured over all of these manuscripts and made copies and copies and copies that we would have this today. God, it terrifies me a lot that people are your plan. That throughout history, people have been your plan to work alongside you. But God, we want to be that people. So Father, we look to you for these interpretations of Scripture. We look to you for how we best love and how we best read. It's in your precious name, of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. If you guys have any questions, which you probably don't, false. Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Please, sorry. I have ADD. Please come find us. Come find me. Go find Larry, who is up here. Also known as Rich. Go find Craig. Find Matt, who's sitting right here in the front row. Ask him about him being better than Michael W. Smith. Find Paul Montoya. Don't find Paul Montoya. He shook his head no. He is unavailable. He has the lunch date right after this. Find Micah, who's sitting right over there. Find Godfrey, who's sitting right there. Find Bonnie. Find Larry. Find Carol. These are all folks that can help steer you in the right direction, all right? They didn't agree to this before I started shouting out their names, but these are all folks that can help you in the right direction. So dialogue is always open, and that's okay. Understood? Love you guys. Grace and peace.